Hallelujah. Welcome everyone to Rise Company, where we help people find life, enjoy life, and win in life. Today I want to expose stinking religion so we can serve God from a place of power, freedom, and joy. And before we get there, I want to just catch us up from where we were last week. We've been on a series called Justice, The Just Shall Live by Faith. We talked about and how most of us are excited about watching movies where the hero wins, right? Where the victim has things set right and the underdog prevails because of their great effort and the work that they put into it. And so this is called Justice, where the hero steps out because of what they believe and with not much support or very little support, they end up being positioned where things are made right, fixed, right? Everything turns out just right. Justice is another word for righteousness. Justice is another word for righteousness. And so this is where we wanted to begin. And we started talking about investigating righteousness. And so what does righteousness mean? The word righteousness means, or it can be translated as right, right standing or all right, rightness, innocence, meaning not guilty or not wrong. It means just. It can also be translated upright, lawful. It means to justify. It can also be translated justify, justice, prosperity. We talked about how righteousness and prosperity cannot ever be separated because this is the way God set it up. When he declared the word righteous, All these words, in the Hebrew, all these words are part of the word righteousness. All these words are part of the word right. In the Hebrew, it's like there's a root word, and it's like all these spokes come out, and you've got all these other words around. And they're all part of this root word. And so every word will carry this theme of the root. It's all connected. And so prosperity is right. It's right. Prosperity is never wrong. Now, people have used it wrong, but that doesn't mean the prosperity is wrong. The increase. Prosperity is right. It also means to clear self and to make right. Righteousness means to make right. So, in his presence, we are clean in his eyes. When we're made righteous, righteousness is being clean in his eyes. Therefore, we can stand in his presence, God's presence, a holy, awesome God. We can stand in his presence without a sense of guilt or inferiority as if sin never existed before. We can do that. See, righteousness causes us to be able to do that, to experience that, to enjoy that, to have that in our lives. 2 Corinthians 5:17 and 21 says this, that we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And he said that God made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus didn't know any sin. He didn't sin, but he was made to be sin for us so that we, because of what he just did for us, that we might be made, say made, made so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. So he has made us righteous. He's made us right. He's made us, when we got born again, when we invited Jesus into our life, we became a new creature. Old things passed away, all things become new. And we were made right. We were cleared. We're clean. We're innocent. We can stand in his presence as if we'd never sinned before. Without any sense of guilt or inferiority, we can come into his presence. Hallelujah. That's good news. Because he made us righteous. See, we don't have to work to perform. We don't have to earn righteousness with him by our performance. He made us righteous. He made us righteous. Romans 5:1 says, how did that happen? We're justified by faith. We were made righteous. How? We were made righteous by faith. By believing God's word. Not by our performance, not by doing a bunch of do's and don'ts, not by our own works. See, we didn't earn it. Righteousness is not something that's earned. It's something that we believe we receive. Amen? And we're made righteous. Glory to God. And so 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 21 in the Amplified says this, that it was that we have been reconciled to God. And the Amplified says, restored to divine favor. We've been restored to divine favor. In other words, we're God's favorite. Each and every one of us. Say, I'm God's favorite. Amen. Each and every one of us, we're God's favorite. Hallelujah. We've been restored to divine favor, all because of what Jesus did. And we just chose to believe what Jesus did for us. And we receive it. Thank you, Lord. We say, thank you, Lord. Glory to God. So, religion pushes us, and this is where we were last week. Religion pushes us to act right without being made right. And that becomes a struggle. We saw in... Let's go to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Verse 5 says, for when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. In other words, the wages of sin is death. And the only way we knew what sin was is because the law or the word of God told us what was right and what was wrong. So the law let us know what was right and what was wrong. Let us know what was sin. Verse 6 then goes on to say, and now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of spirit and not in oldness of letter. And so we've not been delivered from the word of God. That's not what it's saying. It says, well, when we've been delivered from the law, it's saying that we've been delivered from having to live and struggle and having to be under and trying to obey it in our own strength. We've been delivered from trying to do it in our own strength. Because that's what the problem is. We've been delivered. We died to the law. In other words, we died to having to do it in our own strength. Having died to what we were held by, the weakness of our flesh, so that we should serve Him in the newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. And so we saw that we can now serve Him because our conscience, because of the precious blood of Jesus, our conscience has been washed, cleansed. So we can serve Him with newness of spirit. Our conscience has been cleansed from dead works to serve the living God. We get to serve Him. Why? Because now we've been empowered from the inside. We have been made righteous. And because we've been made righteous, now we have something on the inside of us that enables us to serve Him in newness of spirit and not in oldness of the letter. Because Jesus said in 2 Corinthians, actually the Holy Spirit said in 2 Corinthians 3, He said that the letter without the Spirit kills, right? It brings death. It sucks the life out of everything. But the Spirit with the letter, Spirit with the Word, the Spirit and the Word produces life. So that's where the life comes from, is the Spirit of God. So He's now empowering, enabling us to do the letter, to do the word. How? By the Spirit. His enablement on the inside of us. Hallelujah. We're not having to struggle because, well, we don't have anything on the inside to help us do it. That's a struggle because there is no hope. Because our willpower, you know, is only has so much in it. And when our willpower goes dry, we need to recharge it. But at some point, willpower is not going to do enough. We're going to run out. And then, you know, we sin and we get so frustrated and we get, we're guilty and we're embarrassed and we apologize again for the 976th time. And then we, you know, we'd go for another week or another 2 days or another month. And then all of a sudden, whoa, willpower is over again. And there's just this, it's just this frustrating. And so religion has this outward expression, this pushing us to act right without being right. To have an outward expression without an inward change. And that's what I call stinking religion. And that's what I want to talk about today. Stinking religion. Romans chapter 7, we're going to continue on. Verse 7 says this, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. No, the law is not sin. The law is not our problem. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law, for I would have not known covetousness unless the law had said, 'You shall not covet.' But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire, for apart from the law, sin was dead." In other words, I didn't know what was wrong. I didn't know what was, so I didn't know what was sin. Apart from the law, I was sinning and it was producing death. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. But I didn't know it was producing death because I didn't know it was sin. And so because of God's love for us, he needed to send the law to let us know what was sin. Why did he do that? Because he wanted us to stop doing it so we could get off the road that was leading to death. That was producing death in our lives. He wanted to get us on this road of doing what was right because it would produce life. Amen? The law was not God mad at us. The law was God's love for us to get us off of the road that was already taking us and producing death in our life. So he said, "I was alive once without sin," verse 9, I was alive once without the law, but I didn't know I was going down this road that was producing death. He says, "But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died." Why? Because I had an opportunity. I had a choice. The law said, "Don't do this." The law said, "Do that." And I had a choice. I could say yes and obey, or I could say no and rebel. And it just at some point, our flesh just likes to rebel. It likes to take the easy road. And so we rebelled. We disobeyed. Sin revived and I died. Why? Because we rebelled. We sinned. And the wage of sin is death. And the commandment, verse 10, which was to bring life. See, that was the purpose of the commandment. The purpose of the commandment was to get us off of the road that was producing death and get us on the road that produces life. The commandment, which was to produce life, I found to bring death. Why? Not because the problem was the commandment, but the problem was me. I chose to rebel against it. I chose to disobey it, and it produced death. So it's supposed to help me in life, but I chose the wrong thing, and it produced death. So each and every one of us find this same scenario in our lives. Verse 11, "For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me." The wages of sin is death. And so there was a separation from God. That's what this death is, separation from God. We sinned, and we spiritually died. We're separated from him. It's not the law's problem. The law's problem gave us light to let us know, listen, this road is producing death in your life. The law was saying, choose this road, it produces life. And I chose the death road. And it produced death in me. And so then I spiritually died, was separated from God. Therefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. So I think a lot of people they don't understand this. They think the law is bad. The law is bad. Bad, 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 bad. Bad, 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 bad. The law is not bad. The law is holy, and the commandment is holy and just and good. Say holy. Say just. Say good. The law, the commandment is holy, is just, and it's good. So what's the problem? The problem is not the law. The problem is not the word of God. The problem is not the do's and don'ts. The problem is the people that it's been given to. Our flesh. This road's leading to death. Don't do that. This road is leading to life. Do this. Somehow we just keep choosing to do this. We become our own problem. So what do we see here? The law reveals what is sin, and I chose to disobey and died. Spiritually died. Each and every one of us have this testimony. I chose to sin. Every single one of us. Every single one of us. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then we see, and see this is, so these verses I just read is part of where we would get the idea of an age of accountability. An age of accountability. In other words, young children don't, they go to heaven when they die. Young children go to heaven when they die. Why? Because they have not gotten to the place where they actually know the difference between right and wrong. They don't know the difference. They're not at a place where they can actually correctly choose right and wrong. That's why being able to discipline them with a spanking reinforces just some pain for doing something wrong, and they go, oh yeah, I'm not going to do that. Not because they know the difference between right and wrong. They just go, you know what? I don't like the spanking. I don't like the little bit of pain on my butt. And so they choose to do what's right because of that. But they still don't know the difference. And there's at some point, and generally speaking, it kind of runs between the age of 10 and 12, 14 in that ballpark. And psychologically, it even goes with the development of the brain and so on. The way it's even develops, it develops to that point at around that age where we're actually understand and recognize and can actually make choices for ourselves. And so young children they go to heaven when they die because they haven't even had an opportunity yet. But once they get this opportunity and they choose and they on purpose choose, knowing that it's wrong. Not just because someone else said it was wrong, but they all of a sudden know it's wrong. Then what happened? Sin came, the commandment came, sin came, and I died. We're deceived Deceived, and we sin, and we died. And so that's that portion there. And then we see, verse 13, has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. The good has not become death to me. It's my bad choice that became death to me. It's your bad choice that became death to you. But sin, that it might appear sin, was produced death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Verse 14, what do we see? The law reveals a higher spiritual standard that our flesh cannot reach or attain. You see that? The law reveals to us a higher spiritual standard. And here's the problem. A spiritual standard cannot be attained in the flesh or the soul. The soul and the flesh do not have the capacity to meet and maintain and acquire and walk in a spiritual standard. This is leading to freedom. This is just ought not to be depressing. This is leading to freedom. God's got this amazing plan. Hallelujah. And so the law is spiritual. There's this high spiritual standard, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. And so it's hard to, it can't even be attained. Now here's the struggle. Here's the struggle. The struggle of religion. Here's the struggle of religion. This is what stinking religion is, right? So religion pushes us to act right without being made right. Having a right outward expression without even being made right on the inside without an inward change. So here's the struggle. For what am I doing? I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil that I will not to do, that is what I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it's sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members or my flesh. Oh, verse 24, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Who will deliver me from this flesh? Who will deliver me? Where's my answer? This is the struggle of religion. This is, I know what's right. I know what's right. I know what's right, and I want to do what's right, but I always seem to be doing what's wrong. This struggle. It's just, this is religion. Giving you a picture of what's right without an inward change, without any inward power or ability, our flesh just seems our willpower and our flesh continually longing to do what's wrong, what's easy, and our mind, about all, we only have so much willpower, and then all of a sudden it drains out and I sin again. What I do, I don't want to do, and what I want to do, I don't do, and it's just, this is the frustration I call stinking religion. Stinking religion. And people are frustrated all over the planet. And lots of people are not even going to church anymore because they had rules and regulations and they couldn't do it and they don't like it, and so they're gone. That just doesn't work. I tried that. And then not only Christianity is not a religion, but a religion has been made out of it. But this is religion. This is what irritated Jesus. You want to read about, you know, he got rough and tough on people. It was always the religious leaders trying to get the people stuck in religion. He was very compassionate and merciful for the crowds and the people, but were the religious leaders that were trying to put more weight and pressure on the shoulders of people to do something that they weren't able to do? He was not so exceedingly kind with them. He loved the people and he hated religion. Stinking religion leads to death. But God had a plan. He's got this amazing plan. So, this is religion's struggle. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Verse 25. Oh, thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind myself serves the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. What's the answer? Who's our answer? Jesus. Thank God Jesus is our answer. He's our hope. Amen? So. The law is good. The commandment is good. God is revealing to us a path, a road that's going to bring life to us, exposing this path that's bringing death to us. But because of the weakness of our mind and our flesh, we continued going down this road. The wages of sin is death. It's producing death. We're separated from Him. Who is going to bring deliverance? And so for the Jew who's not made Jesus Lord, these rules and regulations are not possible. To a Christian, and see, here's the problem. A Christian, someone who's born again, who has the power within them, if they are, we're going to get into this, they can experience the same religious struggle if they don't tap into the power and the ability that's on the inside of them. They can live, they can be free and still live religiously. And it becomes a frustrating Christian life. Frustrating. Guilt-ridden, condemnation. So, the answer is Jesus. The answer is Jesus. And then he said, listen, with the mind I serve God, but my flesh serve the law of sin. He's letting us know, listen, there is just not enough power and ability in our mind or our, so our soul and our body, our flesh, to do and to obey and to serve God. They're not designed to. So we got to figure something else out. What has God got set up for us? Chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So those, this is talking about born again people. No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, those who are born again, those who have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? New creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away, all things have become new. Made righteous, made innocent, made clean. Hallelujah. Made clear. Glory to God. We have right standing with Him. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So all of a sudden, we see something now who has just entered into the picture. We are, seen lots of times people don't know this unless they've been taught, but we are a three-part being. We are spirit, we have a soul, which is made up of our mind, our will, and our emotions, and we live in a body. This body is our earth suit. While we're here on the earth, this is what gives us authority to function and operate and to rule and reign and have dominion here on the earth, is our body. When I say our body, it's because it is our body. Our body is not us. Our body is just where we're living. It's our earth suit. We are a spirit. We have a soul made up of our mind, our will, and our emotions. So our soul and our body do not have the capacity to walk and live righteously. That's the struggle. That's the struggle. And too many times if people are trying to live right just with their mind, their will, and their emotions and their body, there's always going to be failure. But he said, where's the answer? The answer is Jesus. And Jesus, when we get born again, our spirit, we become new creatures. Does our mind become a new creature? No. Does our body become a new creature? No. If we had white skin, if we had black skin, if we had red skin, I mean, that's the same color skin we got when we got born again. It didn't change. If we had brown hair, if we had black hair, we still have brown hair. We still have black hair. We have blonde hair, we still have blonde hair. If we're 4 foot two, if we're 6 foot two, we're still the same size. I mean, our body didn't change. Our mind didn't change. What changed? Our spirit. Became a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away. All things became new. The life of God came in us and poof, we got recreated. Made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So now our spirit. Those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, there is no condemnation to them. For, verse 2, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. He was asking, verse 7, who, what, how can I be separate? How can I be free from this law of sin and death? There is only one way, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Amen? We've got the Spirit of life on the inside of us. We got born again. We're made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. All of a sudden, we are free. We are free, glory to God. Hallelujah. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son to be the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. What the law could not do. All it could do was reveal to us this path of life, but it could not empower us to walk it. Why? Because we were the problem. Our flesh was weak. It gave us the answer, but we could not do it because in our soul and our body, there's just not the capacity to do that. But when we got born again, so he has to get us to this place where we get born again. So the answer was God. What the law could not do because of the weakness of your and my flesh, God did by sending Jesus. In the likeness of sinful flesh, He had to become a human being. He had to take our place. He had to become our substitute. He had to suffer and experience the same temptation. But He never chose wrong. He always chose right. Why? Because He was born of a virgin. In other words, He did not have a sin nature. See, that's our struggle. Our flesh has a sin nature, and so it would pull us. Jesus had no sin nature. That's why he had to be born of a virgin, so this could not transfer what Adam and Eve did, could not transfer onto him. So he lived a human life, not with no sin, and then he continued to make right choices, and so he never sinned. He took our place. He became our substitute. And he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So we can fulfill this righteous requirement of the law. We can fulfill this high spiritual standard. Amen? There's this high spiritual standard that our soul and our body could not attain, but when we got born again, our spirit can attain this high spiritual standard, this righteous requirement of the law. If we walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, if we walk in the Spirit, we can attain and walk this high spiritual standard. For those who live according to the flesh. Okay, let me sum up verses 1-4. Jesus did for us what we could not do, and by accepting him, he made us right and infused our spirit with his life. Hallelujah. So no, we're no longer having to only serve the law with our mind, but serve the law of sin because of our flesh and its weakness. We now have within us, we have been made right. So we no longer have to just try to put on right action without being made right on the inside. We're not having to just put on an outward expression of acting right without having an inward change. We now have this inward change so we can do right action. We have been made right on the inside so we can do right on the outside. Keep your finger here. Mark chapter 14, verse 38. Mark 14, verse 38 says this. I'm going to quickly read it, and then we're coming back to Romans chapter 8. Mark 14:38 says this. Jesus speaking, he said, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation." Why? "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So now here becomes the answer. Here is the answer revealed. Now, since we are a tripart being, we are spirit, soul, and body. People that don't understand this accurately, they'll call us body, soul, and spirit. They'll put spirit last because they think it's too. Well, we don't understand it. No, we're spirit, soul, and body. You know, that's who we are. We're spirit, soul, and body. Now, that means there's three: spirit, soul, and body. Now the problem is when you're just functioning from the two, when your spirit is dead, it has a hard time influencing any positive results. So you understand that the majority wins. Majority wins. Say majority wins. Majority wins. So if our flesh decides it wants to do this and wants to do this and wants to do this, and our mind says no, well maybe, oh yeah, oh, I just got tired of resisting. So the majority wins. Two always wins. Majority wins. But now all of a sudden we understand our spirit has been made alive. So now there's three. The three. So our spirit wants to go this way, and our flesh wants to go this way, and so our soul becomes a determining factor. Our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions, it can either side in with the flesh, and if it sides in with the flesh, we'll continue down this road of sin, or if it sides in with our spirit, then all of a sudden we'll walk in the Spirit and it'll produce life and blessing. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about how can we get our soul to join in and side in with our spirit so the majority wins all the time. Here we are, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, they set their minds on the things of the Spirit. All right, so this is the key right here. Those people, the people who live according to the flesh, the people who are living fleshly, the people who are walking in sin, the people who are struggling so much with their flesh and with sin and wanting to do what's right but do what's wrong, this whole religious idea, religion, stinking religion. Why do they have such a struggle? God said, it's because they set their minds on the things of the flesh. Their mind, they're constantly thinking about flesh. They're constantly thinking about the sin. They're constantly thinking about what I'm not supposed to do. They're constantly thinking. Their minds are set. They're thinking about the fleshly stuff. They're thinking about sin. They're thinking about this. We cannot think about this all the time and do this. He said, those who live according to the flesh, those that are stuck in sin, it's because they keep thinking about this stuff. This is always constantly on their mind. But he says, those who walk in the Spirit, those who are walking this life, walking in righteousness, living and producing right results, those who are walking and enjoying life, they're the ones whose minds, they have set their minds on the things of the Spirit. They set their minds on the Word of God. They set their minds on God's way of doing things. They set their minds on walking in love. They set their minds on walking in forgiveness. They set their minds on walking in joy. They set their minds walking in faith. They set their minds on pleasing the Father. They set their minds on doing what's right. They set their minds on the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. They set their minds on pleasing the Father. They set their minds on our authority in Christ, exercising authority. They set their minds on who they are in Christ. See, their minds are set on that. They're fixed on that. And then the next verse, he says the exact same thing, except he condenses it and uses a couple different words. Short version. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be carnally minded, to always be thinking about carnally minded, thinking about fleshly stuff. That's why addictions become so damaging and hurtful, because all they do is think about their addiction. How can anyone get free from their addiction if all they think about is their addiction? There's no way to be free if all we think about is our addiction. There's no hope. There's no hope, because all it does is produce after itself. All it does is focus and attract that to ourselves. It does not empower us. It keeps us stuck in the flesh and in our mind, those two having a majority. But if we'll begin focusing on who we are in Christ, focusing on the Spirit, focusing on the Word of God, focusing on who we are in Christ, focusing on our righteousness, focusing on what to do, walking in the Spirit, then our spirit and our soul become the majority. And we begin to working and walking and living this way more and more. More habitual. More of a habit. It becomes easier and easier. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Life and peace. Life and peace. Life and peace. See, that's the opposite of stinking religion. Right? Stinking religion does not produce life and peace. It produces death, but frustration, condemnation. But there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit, spiritually minded. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Never, ever. We cannot. The walking in the flesh and to be carnally minded is not even remotely close. It's completely opposite of God's way of doing things and his thinking. So we cannot be carnally minded and expect to get godly results. Because to be carnally minded is completely, it's an enemy of God. It can never even be subject to God's way of doing things because they're complete opposites. Complete opposites. So then, verse 8, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. It's just not possible. Verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So what he's saying here is, see, we're not in the flesh if we got born again. If we're born again, if we've given Jesus our life, if we've invited Jesus into our life, if we become a new creature in Christ Jesus, we're not in the flesh. Our spirit is alive. Now, if we don't pay attention to this and we continue to be carnally minded, we will live as if we are not even born again. We'll act like a sinner, even though we're a saint. Because we're not tapping into and taking advantage and walking in the Spirit, we're continuing to walk carnally minded in the flesh. But then if someone's not even born again, this doesn't even apply to them. That literally this is where they go. And every now and then they'll endeavor to do something good and they can function over here on a low level. And we know it's a low level because, you know what? Even the sinner has the right to choose not to murder someone. And most of them choose not to. So we have an ability. So our mind and our flesh have an ability to a certain degree to do what's right, but not this high spiritual standard. Not this high spiritual standard. So you know, they understand. If you understand what's right, so that's the thing with religion. We can understand what's right, but it just is frustrating because in religion without Jesus, we only have willpower on our side. And our will does have power, except it's limited and it runs out and it has to be recharged. So, if you're a Christ's, so if we're born again, hallelujah, that we have the Spirit of God living on the inside of us. Verse 10. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. Or our body is mortal because of sin. For if Christ is in you, our body is mortal or death bound because of sin. But the Spirit, and it should be small s, our spirit is alive because of righteousness. This is talking about us, spirit and body. Our spirit and our body. Our spirit is alive because of righteousness. Amen? We're alive. Because his life was imparted to us when we got born again, when we were made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So the body is death bound, it's mortal, but our spirit is alive. Okay? So it's mortal, it's death bound. But, here's the good news. But if the Spirit of him that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, there's something about us as born again men and women of God, people of God. Even though our body is mortal or death bound, if we have, because we're born again, we have the Spirit of God living in us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit that dwells in us, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, will give life to our mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in us. There's something the Spirit of God living in us begins to infuse and permeate and saturate our physical mortal bodies. It begins to quicken and impart life to our bodies, even though it's death bound and it's moving in that direction. As believers, it's being slowed down because the Spirit of the living God is on the inside of us and it's literally affecting our physical bodies. Hallelujah. It's being renewed. Our strength is being renewed day by day. Amen? Our youth is being renewed. Why? Because we have the life of God living in us. And it begins to, it's permeating, saturating, getting into every one of our cells, quickening our physical immortal body. Hallelujah. So we might be mortal at this moment, But there's something about the Holy Ghost living on the inside of us that's slowing things down and hindering stuff in our physical bodies. Glory to God. Amen? So, verse 12. Therefore, brethren, now listen, he's talking to Christians, he's talking to believers, he's talking to brethren or family. So he's not talking to sinners, he's not talking to religious folk, he's talking to believers. We are debtors. We are debtors, but not to the flesh, right? So we're debtors. We're debtors to God. I mean, literally, what Jesus did for us, we owe him. We owe him big. We're debtors, but we're not debtors to the flesh. So we owe the flesh nothing. Amen? We owe the flesh nothing. We do not have to give place to it at all. We owe the flesh nothing to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you by the Spirit... But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So in other words, we have to put to death. We need to crucify and exercise authority over our flesh. We've been given right and authority, to put to death or to exercise authority over the deeds of our flesh or our body. And then we will live. And that's part of what he said. Listen, if we walk in the Spirit, we will enjoy. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. And that's what he's talking about right here. We will live. We will enjoy life and peace. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God or the mature children of God. See, we must learn to be led by the Spirit of God, not led by our flesh, led by the Spirit of God. And when the Bible says, walk in the Spirit and you not fulfill the lust of the flesh, he's talking about this difference. Who are we going to yield to? Are we going to yield to our flesh or are we going to yield to our spirit? We must yield to our spirit, and that's where the Holy Spirit lives. So we're yielding to the Holy Spirit who lives in us. We need to choose to respond from our spirit instead of responding from our flesh and will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. This is how we walk in the Spirit. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the mature children of God. Verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Fear will hold us in bondage. But you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If we indeed suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So what's this suffering? Well, that's what the verse 13 talks about. When we crucify our flesh, when we tell our flesh to shut up, when we're talking about, but if you by the Spirit put to death the deeds of the body. What does that mean? That means we tell the flesh, shut up. No. No, shut up. No. I cast down that thought. No. What's our flesh going to do? It's going to whine and complain. That's the suffering he's talking about. That's the suffering he talked about. As we keeping our body under control, keeping our flesh under control, put to death the deeds of the body. For indeed, if we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together with him. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the mature children of God. And so we are to let our flesh suffer so we can experience his glory. His glory, his goodness, his power, his presence, his splendor. Hallelujah. Increase, blessing, peace and life, favor. We can experience his glory. Verse 18. For I considered that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The glory that shall be revealed in us. This suffering to walk in the Spirit compared to just giving in. Always being subject to and falling into sin because our mind is set on carnal things. He said, listen, be spiritually minded. Set your mind on things above. Set your mind on the Word of God. Set your mind on pleasing the Father. Set your mind on walking in the Spirit. It's not easy. There's going to be suffering. Because our flesh is going to want to pull. But the more we do this, the more we walk in the Spirit, the cry and the whine of our flesh will be diminished. It'll get smaller and smaller. It'll get weaker and weaker. So don't give up right off the bat. Keep walking in the Spirit. Keep feeding yourself on the Word of God. Keep pleasing God. Keep worshiping and glorifying Him. Keep setting your mind on things above. on Him, on His Word. Being a doer of the Word and not just a hearer only. Amen. Get focused on all the doing and enjoying Him and walking with Him, loving Him. And he said, I consider that the suffering of this present time is not even worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So, let's go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 1, I mean. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. So, let me recap a little bit here. So we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. So, why? So that we can now act right. The Amplified says this, talking about righteousness as the action, correctness of thinking, feeling, and acting. See, we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, so now we can act righteously. We're not trying to perform from something we don't have. We're not trying to put on something, but no, we have actually been made righteous, so we can now do righteous. Correctness of thinking, feeling, and acting is something that we actually have within us, the ability to do. An inward change of heart that now reveals itself in an outward expression. Righteousness is a kingdom lifestyle. It's a kingdom culture. It's the kingdom of God, and it is acquired through the gospel of Christ when we got born again. The gospel of the kingdom is what Jesus preached, but Jesus never preached the gospel of Christ until he was resurrected from the dead, and then God revealed that to the Apostle Paul, and they preached the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ. When Jesus was raised from the dead, they were able to preach the gospel, the good news of Christ, the resurrection, the Messiah. Amen? And so Colossians 1:27 says this, to them God willing to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, the gospel of Christ was a mystery. It was a mystery. It was who we are in Christ, our being born again and made new, our spirits being made alive, our ability to live in this high spiritual standard and attain this high spiritual standard was a mystery. It was never possible. And that's why every year the high priest had to go into the temple, into the Holy of Holies, and offer the blood of a spotless lamb or goat to cover the sins of the people every year. Until the true Lamb of God was slain. His blood was shed. It literally washed, cleansed our conscience from dead works to serve the living God, made a change on the inside that was not possible before that. All of what? God's plan. See, they had this struggle. They had this problem. God had a plan. Jesus is the answer, so we can attain this high spiritual standard, this righteous requirement, because we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen? It's possible. It's possible to live and enjoy this high life. The gospel of the kingdom contains the gospel of Christ, the good news of Jesus the Messiah. But the gospel of the kingdom is all about the kingdom and his right way of doing things. Matthew 6:33 says this, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. The Amplified Bible says it this way, that we're to seek first the kingdom of God and his right way of doing. Amen? That's called righteousness. His righteousness, his right way of doing. So the kingdom of God is filled with how does the kingdom of, what's the right way of doing? How does the kingdom function and operate? God says, listen, I have a kingdom and I have a right way of doing things. In the kingdom, this is how we do things. This right way of doing things. It's his way. And so we seek first the king, but it's not just the king. You know, sometimes we can get so focused on just seeking the king that we don't even understand how the king functions and operates. We wonder why things can still be so frustrating. So it's not just seeking the king, but how does he do things? How have you set your kingdom up? And as we understand how he sets his kingdom up, set our minds on things above, walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Set our minds on these spiritual things. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. No more religion, no more stinking religion, but now freedom, life, and peace. Amen? Isn't that good news? We have a way to enjoy life, function on this higher level, because we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so we will pick up here next week talking about the God of justice. Hallelujah.